listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Michigan Congressman Thaddeus McCotter, a Republican representing the Great Lakes State's 11th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Financial Services Committee, and he's a member of the House Republican leadership. We want to get his thoughts today, just one day after President Obama announced that Chrysler was entering an expedited bankruptcy process and also merging with foreign automaker Fiat. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You released a statement very shortly after the announcement by the president saying that this was a cruel forced bankruptcy. Explain what you meant by that.
I meant that both the process and the ultimate outcome did not have to happen the way that it did. As you know from watching the bridge loan debates and the process which began last fall, the auto companies wanted a responsible time to continue restructuring through the financial crisis. That was not to be the case. Auto Task Force and the administration decided that Chrysler, a car company, had 30 days to get every single stakeholder on board or face bankruptcy. It gave GM 60 days to get every single stakeholder just about on board or face bankruptcy. That's a very, very finite period of time to do that. It didn't happen. It should have been a more responsible framework. But in the end, it allowed loose ends, quote-unquote, such as the hedge funds, to be held out there till the end, and they called the bluff of the bankruptcy.
And talk about that a little bit, because the president really called them out on Thursday, saying they weren't willing to make any sacrifices. They wanted everyone to kowtow to their demands. How do you see it?
Well, I think, unfortunately, when you say that there's only 30 days to get something done or bankruptcy looms, you empower people who are willing to take that risk. What you really want to do is try to work with some of the most difficult ones to have a real negotiation give and take with them to see if you can meet it. When the TARP banks were original sticking points in this, the ability to negotiate with people such as J.P. Morgan Chase actually bore fruit. Citibank bore fruit, and they came around to wanting to see the survival of the new company. And yet, as the clock continued to tick during that process, you ran up to the end. And so in many ways, it was a question of, well, you either take this or you'll be blamed for the bankruptcy. And unfortunately, the hedge funds determined that that was still a better option for them.
We're talking with Michigan Congressman Thaddeus McCotter. And Congressman, if you could go back 30 days or maybe even a little bit more than that, what course of action would you have specifically prescribed for this administration?
Well, it's the same one I prescribed for the Bush administration. It was you had to fix the credit crunch by dealing with the banks directly. You couldn't operate under too big to fail. Simply throwing money at them and hoping that they would free up the credit markets was not going to work. You needed to find the unhealthy banks, declare them insolvent, take out their toxic assets, wall them off, do debt for equity swaps, help the troubled banks, and let the healthy banks continue. That would have brought certainty to the market. It would have sped up the process of freeing up credit markets, which even now is not where it needs to be. And that would have done more to help move cars off the lots, because in the end, the problem, not only for the domestic auto companies, but for transplants like Toyota that have asked for a $2 billion loan from the Japanese government, is moving product off the lot.
Congressman, several analysts have said that this bankruptcy process is here for the very purpose of helping businesses, in this case an automaker, restructure and emerge much stronger than if they languished under their previous circumstances. What do you make of that analysis?
Well, I'm sure they told that to Delphi, which is still in bankruptcy 5 years later. And I'm sure that it doesn't ring true to the workers who were not able to get into the plants today because Chrysler has suspended operations during the bankruptcy. And as anyone can tell you that is familiar with bankruptcy, it is not a certain process. You never know how long it's going to last, and you certainly don't know the ultimate outcome that's going to result. So people who can abstractly look at this and say bankruptcy is the best thing in the world, well, one, they're not going through it, and two, you really can't make that claim with any certainty.
Congressman, another issue that has come up, of course, is the fact that the government is kind of dictating the details of all of this, including the merger with Fiat that is apparently basically been made. That will be more of a reality down the line of Fiat autos will be part of the Chrysler line in the next few years, hopefully. At least that's the plan. What do you make of the government essentially demanding that that take place for Chrysler to stay afloat?
Well, it was the general demand was made at the beginning of the 30 days. What, when we look back, one of the concerns that so many of us had was that when the original Chrysler viability plan was rejected by the task force and the administration, they didn't come forward with a real profitability plan so that the stakeholders would know what they're getting into, so that people like the hedge funds could have known ahead of time what they could potentially be looking at. By only laying out nebulous policy goals and a potential and the dictate of a merger with Fiat, what was allowed to happen, Greg, was you had a process that evolved over time rather than people working toward a common goal that had been clearly outlined. And so when we talk about ownership stakes or we talk about what this looks like, not only was that not laid out at the beginning and evolved over time, it is now hanging in the uncertainty of a bankruptcy court.
Some have called that move and their overall government involvement in trying to keep the auto industry alive in industrial policy, clearly not a compliment when you look at some of the more heavy-handed governments in world history in recent decades. Is that a fair characterization, or is that going a bit far?
Well, I would hope that the same voices were decrying the overregulation, the overly litigious costs to the litigation costs to these companies, and the taxation rates on these companies as well, and many of the other things that government has done to make it very difficult for them to survive as profit-making entities. And I hope they also take into account how the financial crisis has affected every single car maker, be it domestic, transplant, or foreign. Now, for them to simply say that this is an industrial policy, well, these are the same people who also could probably answer the question that we in Michigan have. If Germany lost Volkswagen, they would consider it a loss of national honor. If Japan lost Toyota, they would consider it a loss of national honor. Why do we in the United States not consider the loss of one of our car companies into bankruptcy a problem?
We've also seen how this new stakeholder arrangement is likely to work in the future. We know that the auto workers, the union, now about 55% of the stakeholders. Some say that's a giveaway to big labor. Are you concerned about that?
Well, those who say it's a big giveaway to big labor don't understand what labor's already had to give away, not only previous to this, but during this process. They also have to be aware that Fiat, in meeting certain conditions, can increase its share of the company. And that, again, all depends upon what happens in bankruptcy. But to simply single out and blame the unions again, you're missing the taxation, regulation, litigation, you're missing the financial crisis that crashed on all the auto companies, and you're simply looking for a scapegoat in a process that, and I like to remind people, the negotiating process between the companies and the UAW were mutual. And they were mutually agreed upon.
Congressman, thanks so much for your time as always.
Thanks, Greg.
Michigan Congressman Thaddeus McCotta represents his state's 11th Congressional District, member of the House Financial Services Committee, and the House Republican leadership. This is Dateline Washington.